The word of God given to us today is Psalm 119, verse 137 to 144. Please turn to page 895 of the Old Testament. Allow me to read the words of God. You are righteous, Lord, and your laws are right. The statutes you have laid down are righteous. They are fully trustworthy. My zeal wears me out, for my enemies ignore your words. Your promises have been thoroughly tested, and your servant loves them. Though I am lowly and despised, I do not forget your precepts. Your righteousness is everlasting, and your law is true. Trouble and distress have come upon me, but your commands give me delight. Your statutes are always righteous. Give me understanding that I may live. Amen. Psalms 119 is constructed in total of 22 verses. Today's scripture is the 18th verse, and it praises the forever righteous God and His words. In Psalm 119, there are some verses that describe the words righteousness, but explicit mention of righteous are you, Lord, appears for the first time in today's scripture. Verse 137, righteous are you, Lord, and your laws are right. The poet calls out, O Lord. In the 17th verse of the psalm, we noted that the name is equivalent to the character, existence, and dignity of the person it refers to. The poet is calling God by his name, confessing and praising what kind of a person God is. Righteous are you, Lord, and your laws are right. The Hebrew word for righteous has the same root as the tzedek, which refers to unbiased opinion. And word judgment has the same root as mishpat, which refers to justice. What error or mistake would there be in God's judgment? God's judgment is always declared through words, so His judgment is the word itself. That word cannot be faulty and is always right. In verse 138 as well, the poet praises the righteousness of God's word. Verse 138, the statutes you have laid down are righteous. They are fully trustworthy. The proofs are God's word. The poet mentions that God's word is righteous and praises that at the same time that it is fully trustworthy. The Hebrew word used here for trustworthy is emunah. And this original expression is used in is four times before today's scripture. One of them is translated as trustworthy. Trustworthiness means that it is believable. It means that God's word is accurate and without fault, so that it is believable. The fact that God's word is trustworthy and perfectly believable means that God Himself is trustworthy and believable. There are times that we cannot believe in a certain person depending on the situation, but this is not the case for God. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 13 also records this. If we are faithless, He remains faithful. Faithful means dedication and reliability. Here, we refer to disciple Paul, but also Christians in general. It is a witness that we Christians may be faithless and unreliable, but God is always faithful and thus reliable. Yet, there are those in the world who do not trust the faithful God's word. The poet could not hold his feelings for such people. Verse 139. My zeal wears me out, for my enemies ignore your words. Who would the poet's enemies be? Reflecting on the poet's confession up to this point, we can guess who they may be. Important thing to note is that these enemies have ignored God's words. They are not those who did not know God's word in the first place. The expression that enemies ignored implies that previously they did know. Then why would they have they forgotten or ignored God's word? What would have led them to forget God's word? Whatever the reason may be, what would happen if someone forgets God's word? The effect from those who have forgotten God's word does not affect just the person, him or herself, but also affects others and makes those around him or her difficult. They go against those who are righteous and become arrogant and do wrongdoings. We may have these kinds of enemies around us. The poet felt a certain zeal witnessing those who have ignored God's words and their wrongdoings. The passion was to the point of wearing him out. What sort of passion would that be? The word for zeal in Hebrew also has the meaning of to be jealous or to be envious. In Genesis chapter 26, Isaac dug up various wells when he was residing in Gerar. The reason that he started digging wells was because the Philistines envied him, as he ultimately became wealthy thanks to being blessed by God. The Philistines filled the wells with soil. Those with sinful nature envy others when these others are blessed. The verse 138 in Psalms was translated to zeal. However, here the word zeal refers more to a rage towards those that have forgotten God's words, rather than envy in more frequent terms. It is an expression of the poet's rage towards how these people could ever forget or ignore God's words in the first place. So this confession, "My zeal wears me out," is showing that he is upset from rage. When we see injustice, we feel rage. If we feel rage, we become upset. The poet, who was angry due to those who are ignoring God's words, did not end with just becoming upset. His enemies ignored God's words, but the poet did not. He confesses in verse 141, "I do not forget your precepts." Yet, before this confession, the poet understands the nature of God's word and confesses his love for the word. Verse 140. Your promises have been thoroughly tested, and your servant loves them. The fact that his enemies forgot God's words was in turn developed into, for the poet, the love for the word. How about us? What do we feel when we see those who have forgotten God's word? Do we become upset from rage towards them? Or do we see them as moral lessons and think in return that we should not live like them but love the word more? The poet did not solely love God's word out of spite for those who have forgotten them. It could have been a motivating factor, but there is another reason that the poet loved God's word so much. It was because God's word is pure. The idea behind the phrase thoroughly tested in original language is to refine or purify gold and silver in the smelting furnace. The pure words purify the sinful nature of humans. The enemies have ignored God's word, so they can only be contaminated with sin. The poet, who witnessed all of this, could not love God's pure word. And to love the word is to love God. Then, we ask the question, does God need humans' love? On one hand, God is not a being that needs our love. The reason that we should love God is different from why we should love other human beings. If someone lacks love in his life, in his or her life, then that person can only be restored through love bestowed on them. Human beings, by nature, need to love and be loved. Without love, not can we live like a human, but the meaning of our existence fades away. Yet, God's existence or nature does not change, even though He is not loved. His character does not change either. If there was no command from God to love him, what would be the reason for humans to love God? However, if we get to know God deeply, and more we know about him, we can only love him. Let us take an example. Why are children loved? Children are loved because they are innocent. They are described as unstained, bright, hide nothing, and are without lies, and so on. Does this not mean that they are pure? The same is a reason that we love God. God is pure, and God's word is pure. Why are adults not loved like children? That is because adults are not pure. Adults are stained, gloomy, hide things, and lie. God is not superfluous and has no lies. So we cannot not love God. Even for those who are called the saints, when we look into our lives carefully, they have lots of deeds, but also faults. They might have far more deeds than false compared to ordinary people. But as humans are not perfect, they are bound to have hidden sides to them. God is pure, so He has nothing to hide. If we think that God has hidden sides to Him, how could we love His Word? To be pure also means to be righteous. We declare that we love God because He loves us well. We say that we love Him out in awe of His blessing and love and toward ourselves despite our sin. Then, how often do we confess that we love God because He is righteous? Then, how often do we confess that we love God because He is righteous? Do we not think that righteousness and love is a distant term? Because God is love, He is God of righteousness, and because He is righteous, He is God of love. Love and righteousness are not conflicting terms. God's righteousness that does not kill sinners but turns them righteous, the tzedek, is God's character, His righteousness and love. As God is righteous, we love Him. And as God is righteous, we cannot but love God's words. The poet, who cannot but love God's words, praises the everlasting righteous word from verse 141 to 144, despite his difficult situation. Verse 141. Though I am lowly and despised, I do not forget your precepts. Why would a poet think of himself as lowly and despised? Would a poet have been really lowly? The meaning of lowly in the original translation is to be small. It means to be young, low in numbers, or low in value. The poet describing himself as lowly may have been an expression of humility. As someone following God's word, there will be numerous times when we are treated as a lowly person in the world. The poet may have been in a lowly situation due to his enemies. Whatever the reason for describing himself as such, the world looks down upon lowly people. The world judges someone according to their appearance. If we are looked down upon, even though we don't think we lack education or financial capability, intelligence, or experience, then we may show rage towards those who look down upon us. But as always, the poet does not act as such, but focuses on God's words. I do not forget your precepts. The poet was looked down upon, but he endured. Why did he do this? The reason that he did not show rage towards those that looked down upon him was because he knew that it was what God wanted him to do. Romans chapter 12, verse 17. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. Romans chapter 12, verse 21. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. This is the Lord's teaching. Those who have forgotten Lord's word will act upon their feelings and try to pay evil back with evil. Those who have not forgotten Lord's word will carefully think about what the Lord will want in this situation, even though he or she is looked down upon. The poet did not only suffer from being looked down upon. Trouble and distress have come upon me, but your commands are my delight. Trouble and distress have come upon the poet. We cannot know in detail what these trouble and distress are, but the poet was not overcome with despair or sadness. The reason for this is because he took in God's word as delight. The poet could take the word as delight and not forget them, and not forget it because he had a deep understanding of the characteristics of God's word. This is the poet's confession regarding God's word. Verse 142, your righteousness is everlasting and your law is true. Verse 144, your statutes are forever right. Give me understanding that I may live. Lord's righteousness is everlasting and your statutes are forever right is an emphasis of the confession in verse 137. Righteous are you, Lord, and the statutes you have laid down are righteous. The poet was looked down upon and despised, but the reason that he could live a life of not forgetting God's word, God's statutes, was because he believed in the everlasting God's righteousness, the tzedek, and that God's word, the statutes, were true. What would be the reason that the poet shouted out the righteousness, the tzedek of God's word, even in his lowly and despised state? It would be that he had in his heart that there would be recovery to God's righteousness, rather than to the ways of the world. To the Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 6 to 7. He will pay back trouble to those who trouble you. Give relief to you who are troubled, and to us as well. This will happen when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven in blazing fire with his powerful angels. God delivers people of word from being looked down upon, in distress, and in trouble. Entrust yourself, entrust your distress and trouble to God. If you entrust it to God, he will pay back with rest. The confession, your law is true, in verse 142, is equivalent to confessing that God's words are true. This means that there are not hidden parts, nor lies, and is thus pure. Words are the truth. There is forgiveness, salvation, and eternal life in the word. That is because Jesus is the word, and the way, the truth, and life. Was there much trouble? Were there much trouble and distress in 2021? Among us, some would have held onto the word in the process. That would be because they believed in God's righteousness and the word as the truth. Some would have enjoyed God's word. That would be because they believed in the righteousness of the word and its everlasting character. The path that allows us to survive all the trouble and distress can be figured out from verse 144. which is understanding. It is to understand the everlasting righteous word. Those who realize that the word is everlastingly righteous, they can survive even in distress and trouble. God made his one and only Son, Jesus Christ, to bleed on the cross in order to purify sinners. The Lord shed blood for sinners once, but it is an eternally righteous blood. Those who understand this can be revived again. Today is the last Sunday of 2021. There have been many events, not only just in 2021, but in the past 2 years, especially in regards to COVID-19. It would not be an overstatement to say that so much trouble and distress have occurred because of the pandemic. We cannot know when the spread of COVID-19 will end or the impact of it. We hope that distress and trouble may not spread more, but we cannot be sure. If we assume that the 7 years of famine is a period that we are going through right now, of course, this is an assumption, then we have to wait 5 more years. Is this not despairing? In the past, sons of Jacob, during the famine, went to Egypt to get food. When they went to Egypt for the second time, they had hoped for the famine to end soon, but it did not happen. Joseph's brothers learned of God's plan through Joseph's word. For 2 years now, there has been famine in the land, and for the next 5 years, there will be no plowing and reaping. When they heard this, did they fall to the ground from despair? If Joseph was not the prime minister of Egypt, they would have fallen into despair. However, as Joseph was residing as prime minister of Egypt, even after 5 years of famine to come, they could live there without worry. Joseph says as such regarding famine and worry. Genesis chapter 45, verse 5. And now, do not be distressed and do not be angry with yourselves for selling me here, because it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you. In the time of famine and worry, Joseph was a savior. Right now, our situation is not much different from what Joseph's family, including his brothers, were facing. As God prepared in advance Joseph, who did God prepare for us today? Who is our Savior? We do not know when the 7 years of salvation will come. Even if it was today, the reason that we can continue to go on living is because there is Jesus and there is God who makes us righteous. God, the Holy Trinity, is forever righteous, and as the word of Holy Trinity is forever righteous, we can survive whatever extreme the situation may be. So let us not worry among despair, trouble, or distress. Let us look back at the year 2021. Were there times when people around you forgot the word and your zeal took over and you could not properly love the word? Were there times that you forgot the word yourself because you were looked down upon? Were there times when you could no longer enjoy God's word because you were in trouble and in distress. If so, let us from the year 2022, no, from today, love and not forget the everlasting and righteous God's word and take pleasure in it. Let us pray. Father God, thank you for blessing us for the year of 2021 so that we can lift up the service, the last service of the year, in truth and in Holy Spirit. Thank you for letting those who truly seek you to be able to give service with all of their body and mind to you, and the defending Holy Spirit, despite that the congregation of 100th Anniversary Memorial Church could not be together due to COVID-19. Looking back at how much more we experienced life of worship and worship in life this year, let us praise God even though external circumstances surrounding our lives were not so peaceful or abundant. Let us confess that the difficult times of 2021 were God's righteousness and righteous judgment, and let us rejoice in it. In what extreme situations we may be in, let our love, memory, and rejoice in God's word deepen. Contempt and distress, trouble there may be, but let us believe in God's sincerity and come alive by acknowledging God's everlasting righteousness that delivers us from death through the word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.